Welcome to the house of God tonight in the Saviour's precious name as you come here to worship with us at Hebron. We're going to sing our opening praise tonight. It's number 300, Revive Us Again. It's one of my favourite hymns. My God, I have found the thrice blessed ground where life and where joy and true comfort abound. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Bow in prayer. Our Father, we want to come with this note of praise into your presence, into your house tonight, to be able to say, Hallelujah, thine the glory, to pray even for that work of revival in all of our hearts. Revive us again. It's thy people who need revival, and your word reminds us that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And we've been thinking of this text over and over again. If they turn from their wicked ways, if they seek your face, then you promise to hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The psalmist prayed that so many centuries ago, and it's still the prayer of God's people today. We look back over the course of history. the mighty movings of God that we see both in the Bible, in that part of history, and down through the centuries of church history. When the Lord came down, when revival was given, when there were great evangelical awakenings, when countries were visited, nations were changed, communities transformed. Lord, you raised up men, used them as instruments in your hand. You did a mighty work through the preaching of the word and the prayers of your people. And Lord, we stand desperately in need of such a visitation again in this nation. We mourn over the sins of our country, the departure of the majority. Sin is abounding. We see that in every hand. But Lord, your word tells us that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And Lord, we're praying for grace, abounding grace, the moving of God, the revival of the church, the setting on fire spiritually of your people. Oh God, do it again, we pray, for your glory, for your great name's sake, and of course for the good of your church. You love your church. Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. And Lord, the cross tells us how much Jesus Christ loved the church. He bought the church with his own blood. He paid for our redemption. He has saved us from our sin. And Lord, you love us, and we know tonight you want to visit your people. Bring us to the place of blessing. Lead us along that path that will bring us to that day where God moves mightily again throughout the land. Lord, we want a little bit of that tonight in this meeting. We want to know your presence and power, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We pray that thou will come among us, dear Lord Jesus, in your risen power, that you'll stand in the midst of this congregation, that you will speak to us. When you were raised from the dead, you went and you met with your people. You stood in the midst of those disciples. You had a word that was fitting and appropriate in a time of fear and apprehension when you said, "Peace be unto you." And Lord, you come and you stand in the midst of the congregations today. And we believe you still have a word that's necessary, a word that is fitting for the occasion. Have a word for this congregation tonight. Speak to us, Lord, in the course of this meeting. We thank you for Victoria, who has come to minister in song tonight. We pray that thou will bless her ministry, the pieces that she has chosen before the Lord to sing tonight. We pray that you will help her to sing them, that you will bless her ministry, that we will be spoken to through the words of the hymns. Lead us to Christ. Lead us further on with the Lord, even as a result. Speak to the dear unconverted ones in our midst. When we come to the message of the gospel tonight, and Lord, you know the serious subject that we're dealing with these Sabbath nights, we pray that thou wilt, Lord, open up your word and speak to us, not just really through this preacher, but Lord, through your word. The real power is in the scripture. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the rock, or the hammer rather, that breaks the rock in pieces, and some hearts are just like the rock, and they're hard. And Lord, we need the hammer. Help us, Lord, to wield the sword of the Spirit tonight. May we do that to the glory of God. May we do it skillfully. May we do it successfully. And may Christ be uplifted. Bless the church. Meet with us now in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Victoria, we're glad to have you tonight. We thought you were coming last week, but you're here tonight. And our folks are looking forward to your ministry and song. She is a friend of this congregation. She's a friend of our family. She has been with us on outreach to Romania. I think she enjoyed that. And someday in the future, we long to go back there with our team. She's going to minister in song. We trust that the Lord will bless you and bless the family that you come from. Bless your grandmother, especially in these days of need. Thank you, sister.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness, my freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing that all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee.
Amen. Thank you, Victoria. It's one of the most sweetest and blessed things on earth to be able to say, mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know, beyond all shadow of a doubt, thou art mine. May the Lord bless your ministry in song. I think most of you know Victoria. Her grandfather was my pastor 40 years ago. You are looking at me and you're probably saying, were you five at that time? I would like to be able to say that was so, but it's not. We look back with sweet memories to our times in Portadown under the ministry of the Reverend Elliot, and it's good to see his granddaughter in the Lord's work, serving the Lord and using her voice for his glory. Now, we welcome you, the congregation, to the service tonight. If you're visiting, we especially welcome you. We welcome those listening in on Sermon Audio, on Facebook and YouTube. Tomorrow night is the prayer meeting for our Sunday school teachers at 8 o'clock. Thursday night is the midweek service for prayer, Bible study, and fellowship. And Friday night is the youth fellowship. And there's just two more youth fellowships. This is the second last one, and it's a question and answer night. We're looking forward to that. And I believe the young people likewise. And those that are on the panel, three of our elders and myself. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 a.m. on Zoom. Sunday school is 10:30. And it's meeting here physically in the church. The Bible class is also at 10:30. And that is on Zoom. The worship service, 12 noon. The gospel meeting at 7. And it's also the dedication of Martha Joy Moore. So we look forward to that very special meeting, especially for Ryan and Lydia and their family. I want to thank you for your contributions to the work of God, the tithes and offerings for his work. Now, I was congratulating a lady this morning who had reached a very significant birthday, or will reach a very significant birthday this week, but I didn't realize that there was another lady who had a very significant birthday today, and that is our sister Pat Mills, and Pat is probably listening in. So Pat, we rejoice with you, and we trust that the Lord will bless you, and you've had a good day. I didn't realize also until this afternoon that one of our deacons needs to be congratulated as well, and that's this man, Stephen Fletcher. I didn't notice where Stephen went to sit. Where is he? Where are you, Stephen? Harder to see now with the mask on. Oh, sorry, somebody pointed that way. It's over here. Stephen, I see you now. And Stephen graduated with a master's in biblical counseling from Bob Jones University. Couldn't travel there. Flights had to be cancelled. COVID meant he couldn't go to Greenville to get his certificate and to have the graduation. But we do rejoice with you, Stephen. 4 years of hard work. A lot of labor went into that to get you where you are today. We trust that this will be a blessing to you and the family, and to so many that in the future that your life will cross with, where you'll be able to help them and encourage them. Again, we thank the work team that came in yesterday, labored so well here at the church, did a lot of cleanup work. And then we have the little video from Vision, or the kids. I'm going to get this right, FPC Kids. And Christina, as she spoke to us this morning.
It's Christina here, and I have some very exciting news for you from the team at FPC Kids. Now that life is returning to normal and the lockdowns are lifting, many of you are returning to your own Sunday schools. So we are making some changes to our weekly videos. Instead of our usual Bible corner at 10 a.m. on a Sunday, we will be releasing a short Bible lesson video for you at 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, just before you settle down for your Sunday afternoon nap. We will have lots of new stories, object lessons, and memory verses to share with you, and we cannot wait to get started. So we will see you at 3 p.m. on Sunday for our very first video.
Amen. The Lord has given us the privilege of preaching in Pakistan week after week for months now, and this was today. This man read the scriptures for me, and these are some of the people that attended the service. So these are new photographs that were sent through to me this afternoon. I want you to pray for the work there, the various opportunities that we are receiving in different parts of Pakistan to share the word of God. I'm going to sing 252, Come Home Softly and Tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and for me. See in the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home earnestly, tenderly. If you could just but hear it tonight, Jesus is calling, and he's calling, come home. Oh, sinner, come home.
Thank you.
Mary, we'll ask you to come and minister in song again. Thank you. Thank you very much, Victoria. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's have a wee word before we come to the scriptures. Gracious God, we thank thee for the gospel invitation, really summarized in the word come. Jesus says, come. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, for all things are now ready. Come to the marriage. Lord, we've heard that call even in the hymn that has just been sung. And we pray that there will be a coming to Christ even tonight. Bless your word as we come to it now. We pray that the Lord will be glorified in the preaching. Help us, Lord, to deal with this subject sincerely, solemnly, and in simplicity. Grant us understanding, the might and the power of the Spirit, both in the preaching and the hearing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in the Word of God to Revelation chapter 20. We're doing a series these Sunday nights on the awful place called hell. I put this series off again and again, and well, I had to face it, and the Lord just kept saying in my heart, warn them from me, warn them from me. It's important that sinners are warned about this dreadful place. And so our Bible reading this evening is here in this 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. These were visions, as you know, that the beloved John were given by Christ as he was on the island of Patmos for his testimony, banished there in exile because he loved the Lord. These are things that he saw. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're going to deal particularly with verse 10 and verse 15 of the passage of Scripture as we think tonight about the community or the inhabitants of hell. We come to message 3, verse 10 of this passage of Scripture reads, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In this study, we have considered already the reality of hell, that hell is a real place. It's not fictional. It's not a fantasy. We considered last Sunday night the terminology of hell, and we looked at the various terms, the descriptions, the phrases that the Bible gives us to speak of this dreadful place. It's called hell, obviously. And we looked at the four words that are translated into the English language in our Bible. One in the Old Testament, three in the New. We think of Sheol, we think of Hades, we think of Gehenna, and we think of Tartarus. And then it's called the fire, a furnace of fire, a lake of fire. everlasting fire, unquenchable fire. It is darkness. It is the bottomless pit. It is the prison. It's the second death. And it is that place described as falling into the hands of the living God. And I believe that we have been brought into contact with this abode of sinners. Already God has lifted the lid of hell, and he has allowed us to peer in and to see something of what this place is really like. We have been able to do that by looking at the descriptions that God has given in his word, and our hearts have been touched. I trust they have. And we have been shaken as we think of this fearful place. But tonight I come to the community, or the inhabitants of hell. Who will be there? The Bible gives us very plain details of who will be the dwellers in this horrible place of hopelessness. But the great question that all of you need to ask is this: will you be there? As we think of those who will be there, will you be there among them? Are you still in your sin? Are you lost and going down, down, down to the sides of this pit? Are you abiding under the condemnation of God tonight? Are you without God and without hope? Have you obeyed the Lord and you've fled from this wrath to come? These are important questions. So who will be in hell? Well, first of all, the devil will be there. It's very clear in what we read tonight in verse 10 that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Too many people have held the false opinion that hell is ruled by Satan. They couldn't be further from the truth. That is an absurdity. It is not true. Satan does not even live there at this present time. He did not make it, and my friends, he will not rule it. Rather, Satan will be cast into hell on the great day of judgment. Now, the word of God speaks about tonight, and he will be confined there and tormented there forever. It appears that Satan was once an angel of light, an archangel of heaven, a pure and a sinless being in the presence of God, one of the highest ranking angels of God. He is pictured, as you know, in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 14 under the term that was originally used to describe the king of Babylon, Lucifer. And this has been used to picture the devil and the activity of the devil. We read in Isaiah 14 and verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Because of his sin of ambition and self-will, Lucifer, the angel of light, was cast out of heaven. And this, of course, reminds us of what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples: "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And he's now an outcast from heaven. He's now the prince of the power of the air. He is going around this world, as Peter reminds us, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But his time is short, and he knows it. In fact, the Bible tells us that the devil knoweth that he hath but a short time. We have that in the book of Revelation as we see these things come to pass. As the devil sees prophecy being fulfilled, He knows that his time is limited in this earth. It'll all be brought to a conclusion, and soon he will be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Hell is waiting for Satan. At the end of the 1,000 years, as we read this evening, Satan will be released. He will immediately resume his deceitful activities, the old work of the devil to deceive the nations, but on a higher and a larger scale. He will gather the nations together for the final battle. It's the last great attack of evil against the things of God. He gathers a great army of the ungodly that encompasses the camp of the saints. But their final effort is a vain and futile one. In fact, it is short-lived. The power of God is so overwhelming that this battle couldn't really be called a battle at all, for fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Just as plain and as simple as that. He gathers the nations. They encompass the camp of the people of God, particularly the city of Jerusalem, but they do not make any real advancement. God intervenes on behalf of his people, and fire comes down and destroys them all. And it is at this point, according to what we've read tonight, that the devil is finally thrown into hell to be tormented for all eternity. There will be no intermission. There will be no end of this torment for the devil. I'm sure the saints of God will shout hallelujah when that happens. This archenemy, the great deceiver of souls, the grand adversary of the saints, the accuser of the brethren, called in verse 2 of our reading, the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, will never, never trouble the people of God again. He has his eternal destiny sealed and is here in the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil will be there. He's part of the inhabitants of hell. But also, my friends, the fallen angels or the demons. I'll take you back just for a moment to that text in Matthew chapter 25, when the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching the great sermon on the second coming and all things that happen around that time. Matthew 25 and verse 41, speaking of the unconverted who are on the left hand, Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And listen to this little phrase, "prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell was never originally prepared for lost souls, though lost souls will be there. They will be part of that community. Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. It was created for them. Let me mention two other texts to you. First of all, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. "If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And in Jude verse 6, "the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the coming of the great day." Many of these angels that were cast out, that left their original state, were not cast out to the earth. They were cast down to hell, where they are reserved. Some of the greatest and the highest angels are there, reserved unto the day of judgment. Many others, of course, were cast down to the earth. Are these fallen angels the same as the demons that were so often cast out by the Lord in his ministry and his apostles? I think so. Demons, evil spirits, fallen angels seem to be the same, and they are still around today. In Bible times, they caused insanity, dumbness, deafness, blindness, lameness, convulsions, fits, suicidal tendencies, and many, many kinds of suffering and sin. Demon activity has continued until this present age, and there is no doubt that evil spirits are behind much of what we see in this world. The murder, the drunkenness, the insanity, the immoral, lewd practices of the present age. Foreign missionaries tell us how often the heathen people are possessed with devils. They see it there firsthand in many of these countries that are given over to satanic worship. These satanic powers warp men's minds. They enslave sinners and they cause havoc. And do you know, my friends, apostasy, the falling away that we see in the world today from truth among the great denominations throughout the world, is connected with demon power. We are told in God's word, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Among the things that accompany demon possession are speaking in a voice not of the victim, unusual physical strength, hostility and fear in the presence of Christ and gospel preaching, speaking in tongues, and physical and mental disturbances. But one day these demons who have corrupted, tormented, afflicted, and seduced mankind will be brought down to the lake of fire. Hell will have a house that is filled with unclean spirits. Millions of them will suffer eternal torment. They who afflicted will be afflicted. They who tormented will be tormented. They who made men to suffer will suffer for all of God's eternity. The devil will be there. The fallen angels will be there. Just a little word to say that the beast and the false prophet will be there. In our Bible reading tonight, in that 10th verse, the devil is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. But the text goes on to say, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. By this time, of course, they will have already been in hell for 1,000 years. If you go back to the 19th chapter, notice what it says in verses 19 and 20. John says, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And my dear friends, their torment will continue, as the Word of God reminds us, day and night, forever and ever. They had their little day, and it was just a little day, despite the fact that they will reap havoc in this world at the end of time, despite the fact that they will deceive many and the world will wander after them. They will have had their little day. But now the reckoning has come, and they are thrust into their rightful places. Who is the beast? Who is the false prophet? Well, you read Revelation 13, and that will enlighten you. But just needless to say tonight, they are all that pertain to Antichrist and the Antichrist system. And both will be defeated and cast headlong into hell. The devil is there, will be there. The fallen angels will be there. The beast and the false prophet will be there. But fourthly tonight, all the unsaved, without exception, will be in this dreadful place. Look at verse 15 of the passage of Scripture that I read to you tonight from Revelation 20. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When Satan And his officers are judged, sentenced, and cast into hell. We are led to the scene of the last judgment, the great white throne. It is the day of reckoning for the ungodly. There is a throne set up. There is a judge sitting upon this throne in majestic splendor, the Lord Jesus himself. There's a great company of people gathered for the judgment. The books of eternal records are opened, and the judgment begins, and a terrible sentence is pronounced. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Dreadful words indeed. Any name that does not appear in the book of life is thrown into the lake of fire. So says God's holy word. All who do not have a definite transaction whereby their name has been written into this book by which they became a child of God will go into hell. All who have not truly accepted Christ as their Redeemer and Savior will be cast into this place. Jesus Christ spoke of certain individuals being cast into hell. You think of Matthew chapter 13 and verses 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus uses this term here, all things that offend. Those who have been a snare and a stumbling block, an offense. Those who block others from coming to Christ. Drug pushers, publicans, porn barons, prostitutes. Well, the list really is endless. They'll all be there. A more detailed description of the various kinds of sinners is given to us in Revelation 21 and verse 8. Having been brought to heaven and shown the glories of heaven, the place where there's no more death and sorrow and sickness and pain, we read in verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What a dark, black catalogue of unregenerate men are listed here. The fearful, some men are too afraid of losing their reputation, losing their honors, losing their lives, losing their friends, and so they reject Christ. They fail to own him as their Savior. Am I speaking to someone this evening in this meeting, and you are afraid to be saved? You are afraid of losing your friends. You know if you came to Jesus Christ, your friends would go. You are afraid of losing your lifestyle of sin. You love your sin. You are afraid of losing your worldly pleasures. You love them as well. My friends, the loss is too great. You are in danger of losing your soul for all of God's eternity. You will have your part in the lake. The Bible tells us the fearful, the unbelieving will be there. They do not believe the gospel. They do not exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Is this you? You have failed to believe. You have failed to trust. You have failed to receive the Lord Jesus. Well, my friends, you will have your part also in this place. The abominable, that's just simply a term that refers to those guilty of defilements of various kinds. They will have their place in the lake of fire. Murderers, such take away another life. They do it willfully. They do it without any warrant from God. There are warrants from God where the life should be removed. When we think of capital crimes, we believe in capital punishment. There are war situations, but whenever a person takes another person's life without any warrant from God, and they do that willfully, they're guilty of murder. And the Bible tells us here they will have their part in this place. Whoremongers. That strictly, in the original sense of the word, means male prostitutes, but in the New Testament, it refers to sexual sin in a general sense. This is the age of gross immorality. We observe all around us the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye is rising to an all-time peak of wantonness. It has taken over many a life. It has ruined and destroyed multitudes. Never has there been a time when such vileness has been printed in books and magazines. Never has there been such a time, my dear friends, where promiscuous acts are flaunted so publicly. With the rise of sex shops and striptease shows, never has there been such a time when immoral depravity pervaded unashamedly, or is paraded unashamedly across the television and the internet. The worst, the filthiest, and the most detestable of corruption and perversion to be found there. No wonder the world is in the state in which it's in. No wonder there's a rise in rape and sodomy and buggery and incest and loose living and sexual acts of impurity, disrespect for another person's purity. So many broken marriages, broken lives, broken homes. And God says they shall have their part in the lake. I just want you to know, before I leave this word, God does not treat sexual sin lightly. Puts it in here as those that will have their part in hell. Sorcerers, practicers of Satanism in all its forms, witchcraft, necromancy, magic, fortune-telling, charming, spiritism, divination, occultism, Ouija boards, and the list goes on. They will have their part. Idolaters, all types of persons who have put anything in the place of the one true God. Idol worshippers, false religions, lovers of pleasure, because they're putting their pleasure in the place of God. They will have their part. And liars, those who do not speak the truth with their tongues, are liars in practice, like the hypocrite is, seeming to be something that they are not. Never treat lying lightly. People talk about white lies, they talk about just little lies. My dear friends, lies in the sight of God deserve eternal punishment in hell forevermore, according to this book. Never treat it lightly. Gospel rejectors are in the community of the damned. Let me read to you 2 Thessalonians and the chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. These words perhaps are familiar to you. They are important words. As the Lord Jesus Christ comes again in the last day, he's coming, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You might be upright. You might be honest. You might be moral and religious. You might be a churchgoer. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you will be lost and you will be damned forever. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Come out of your hiding place, wherever it is that you're hiding. You will spend all eternity in hell, in this company, if you die without the Lord. I need to be faithful to you. You condemn the murderer, and rightly so. You denounce those whose hands are dripping with the blood of innocent victims, and rightly so, including the abortionists. You indict the murderous actions of terrorist organizations like the IRA, and rightly so. But my friends, you are going to the same place as the murderer if you die without the Lord. You speak against sexual immoralities and perversions that you see in the media, whether it's television, internet, all around you it's to be seen. The horrible crimes of indecency and brutality. But your hell is the same hell as those men and women guilty of such immorality. You wouldn't bow down before an image of an idolatrous shrine. But the punishment of the idolater is in the same place as you're going to. These are evil men and women of disrepute. And we think of these men and women tonight. You would not invite them into your home because of their wicked character. They are vile and sinful. They are the offscouring of society. You do not consider them to be worthy associates for your wife or your children or other members of your family, and you're right, but you will spend all eternity in the same place if you die without Christ. Think of Adolf Hitler, who murdered millions of Jews. Think of Joseph Mengele, Dr. Death, as he was called, who tortured the Jews. We think of Mara Hindley and Ian Brady in the 1960s, who tortured and taped the tortures and burned little children. Some of the bodies have never been recovered. Think of Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper. Think of Jack the Ripper. Think of Franco, the Spanish dictator. Think of Osama bin Laden and his murderous actions. Think of Saddam Hussein and his brutalities. And hell is filled with these kinds of people, and filled with drunkards and adulterers and fornicators and prostitutes and sodomites and lesbians and thieves and murderers and reprobates and apostates and idolaters and haters of God and liars and infidels and atheists and agnostics and all kinds of depraved and wicked men. And you shun their company and you condemn their sinful ways. But my friends, you'll share their destiny forever in this awful place called hell. You need to be converted. You need to enter through the narrow gate that leads to life in heaven. You need to repent of your sin. You need to cry for mercy. I plead with you in this meeting tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, that you will come to Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus tonight in the close of this service. Get your gaze, my friends, upon the cross. It's there that he's crucified for your sins and mine. See his sufferings, his anguish, and his pain. Watch as your sins are laid upon him and he suffers in your stead. He enters the darkness of hell, taking your place, taking your punishment. Oh, how he loves the sinner when he would do all this that you might be saved. Don't you miss him tonight. Don't you bypass the cross. Don't you fail to turn to the Savior. You come to him, lest one day you will be in the great company that I've mentioned tonight, who will be in hell forever. The devil the fallen angels, the beast, the false prophet, and all the unconverted who do not take Christ as their Savior, they'll be there in all their shapes and forms and all their ranks of sin and depravity. They'll be there. I asked the question at the beginning, will you be there? You need to answer that question. Some of you will say, no, preacher, I'll not be there, for I've been to Christ. I've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know beyond all shadow of a doubt my sins forgiven. Jesus paid it all at the cross of Calvary. Preacher, I'll not be there. I'm in Christ, and there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But alas for others, in the honesty of your heart, you'll have to say, in the light of God's word, if I die the way I am, yes, preacher, I'll be there. Well, I'm saying to you tonight, I'm pleading with you tonight, flee to Christ, the only Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in humility and reverence, we bow in your presence at the close of this service, dealing again with truths that are solemn and real, as we think of those that are going to this dreadful place. And they'll all go there and deserve it. What God declares on the great judgment day will be right, perfectly right. There'll be no argument. There'll be no case to answer in that sense. Guilty will be written all over the sinner, and depart from me will be the words that they will hear, and they will go into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Lord, save the sinner tonight, we pray. Bring them to Christ, the one that was crucified for our sin. Help them to see tonight that there's a remedy for them only in the Lord Jesus. May they flee to him now, get underneath the covering and the cleansing of his blood, and know their sins forgiven for Jesus' sake. Amen. 253, we'll just sing one verse of the closing hymn, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Are you waiting for that more convenient day? It never came for Felix. It may never come for you. Are you almost persuaded? Well, I pray and I trust in my heart you'll be altogether persuaded. As the great apostle said, that day to King Agrippa, I say that to you. May you be altogether persuaded and seek Christ. Let's sing this one verse, the opening verse of the hymn. Gracious God, dismiss us now in thy fear and in thy love. Let the word of the Lord live on. May the Spirit of God speak on. Long after the voice of this preacher is silent, oh, may the still small voice of God be heard, and may sinners be brought to Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And I thank you again for being part of the service tonight, for worshiping with us at Hebron. May the Lord bless you, take you home safely, or if you have travels tonight, go with you in your journey. You'll be asked to leave row by row for your safety. Thank you.